What I learned was that no matter your title with a job, or no matter if you're the CEO of this big corporation, when you clock out for the day, you're putting on gym shorts and going to the gym, or
There's no doubt.
you're going to work in the field. And so like learning that, I think, also built my confidence of like how to talk to people and like just how to navigate the reality of where the CEO thought the importance was of the conversation was important to learn early.
All right, today we talked to a guy named Darian Craig. He's a guy here in the Birmingham area, lives in Hayden, and he owns a company called Y'all Sweet Tea. Now, the guy's only 30, but we go through his journey. Now, listen, y'all, his journey is absolutely wonderful. I was as intrigued by this conversation as I have been with any of the 60-plus episodes that we've done on the Owner's Table podcast. So we go through him growing up, and then we go through him. There's a little bit of a professional fishing career. We talked a lot about the technical aspect of owning a business. So if there's a 20-year-old out there that wants to own, or a high school kid out there that wants to own his own business, this is the episode to get them to. We're going to break this thing up into two parts because we've talked for almost 100 minutes, but it's very technical, but it's also, I mean, he's just as real as you can be. We talked about all the influencers that he's dealt with, the failures he's had with some influencers, and then the accidental ones that had just come about, and then also dealing with the Duck Commander and that process. So you're going to love this episode with Darian Craig. Darian, thank you so much for joining me. Here's the great thing about what we do here. So the best guests that we've had on this podcast have been not people that I've seen, have they been recommendations.
Yep.
So David Oakley, who I've grown to be great friends with, was a guest, and he was a recommendation from a guy named John. Well, and then Lynn Hurst was a recommendation, and I really didn't talk to Lynn a whole lot. But then Lynn said, hey, you need to call these guys, and you need to get them on your podcast. I was like, okay.
That's right.
And I didn't even question it. I didn't even question Lynn.
Lynn said,
yes, sir.
We're doing it.
And so, look, it is a Friday, and we're shooting this on a Friday. And today is the first day I've actually spoken to Darian. I know a little bit about his company, but I know it's honestly just a recommendation from Lynn.
Yeah,
and we've never spoke on the phone. I know a little bit about his business, not a bunch. And so this is going to be a wonderful deep dive. So any reaction you get from me today is extremely authentic.
Raw as it gets.
What's going on? So
man,
thanks.
I'm
glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Brandon was going to come and I think he was going to shoot after me, but we got tied up. So I'll just jump right into it.
Yeah, do it.
Well, we're going to get crazy on what is Y'all Sweet Tea, but yeah, he's packing a lot of orders. We got our businesses mainly through online.
Yeah.
And we got really swamped with an order this week. We'll get into that details. But we'll save it. That's a good story.
Let's do this. Let's go back to the beginning. Born and raised in Hayden, Alabama.
Correct.
We had the Hayden, Alabama boys on and they were great.
Yep.
Born and raised in Hayden. Tell me about growing up, like family, mom, dad, all that good stuff.
Yeah, just a normal family. My parents divorced when we were young.
Mm-hmm.
And live with my mom, have a still good relationship with my dad.
Yeah.
It was a really cool co-parenting thing. It was really cool. My grandparents were a big part of our lives. And, man, just grew up like normal middle class, lower class people from Hayden, Alabama.
So one of the big questions I ask is when you were a kid – and Miss, you know, Aunt Ethel from church walked in and said, what do you want to be when you grow up? What did you say?
From a very, very early age, I said entrepreneur.
Did you really?
From a very young age. Probably like in maybe junior high. I knew that's what I wanted to be. Prior to that, I didn't really know. I think I was a little bit too young. I never really had an answer for that question. But a funny thing is the Hayden, Alabama guys, the podcast that you did with those guys, he was a huge start in my like entrepreneur journey. And I'll give a short story long.
Yeah.
Is I was given like 300 blank white t-shirts. Philip at the time had a print shop that he was doing shirts with, but I didn't have money to print anything on those shirts. So I was getting into fishing a bunch and I wanted to start my fishing career. So I made DarianCraig.com, but I didn't have money to print that on any shirts. So I literally have my signature on the front and me setting the hook on a fish on the back with DarianCraig.com on the bottom. I traded Philip half of those shirts. So as payment for him to print ink on the other ones. And then I sold those at school. So I was like in 10th or 11th grade, hustling t-shirts. The whole thing's free. So like everything's profit. And I can just remember like not thinking anything about what's going on in class, but like I got two or three, you know, paper slips passed down to me like, hey, I want to buy one of those shirts after class. So like I was hustling in school and like, I just knew, I'm not good at learning. I'm not caring what's really going on in the classroom, but me making little side money was really interesting to me.
What did your folks do growing up?
Just random stuff. Just random jobs. No real career jobs.
Yeah.
Just kind of bounce around from different things. And I think that was probably one of the most eye-opening things. My aunt had a big business that was pretty successful over time that I seen a little bit. I didn't get really, wasn't really involved in it. So I started the fishing thing. And then I got paired with a really big pro angler named Gerald Swindle.
Okay, so just go back.
Yep.
Let's just breeze over this whole, you know, I got into this fishing thing.
Yeah.
So did you play sports in high school?
I did.
What'd you play?
Basketball, track, cross country. Loved all three of those.
So you had to, but at Hayden, you have to play more than one thing because it's a small school.
Yes.
But you're just a regular amateur fishing guy.
Just like
my son.
Yep.
Tegan's 12. He loves to fish.
Yep.
So, but you started taking this fishing thing a little more seriously. Tell me about that.
My pawpaw introduced me to fishing tournaments, which I didn't know was a thing. So we just went to Gunnersville on the weekends and caught fish, but we signed up for a fishing tournament and we finished second. And we got like $200 in this tournament. And I was like, dude,
you're hooked.
I did not know you could win.
See what I did there?
You're hooked. Yeah. I did not know you could win money fishing. It was never a thing. So once I saw that, I was like, well, dude, let's sign up for one next weekend. And then I just became addicted to it. Like me and pawpaw, that was our thing. We'd go fish tournaments on Saturday mornings. And so then I was better at fishing than I was at the sports I was playing. And I still play sports to this day, but I was like, man, if you can make money fishing, that's going to be it. And that kind of ties to the next part, which was the pro angler. He's in Hayden, Gerald Swindle. And he's one of the biggest, he was my like childhood idol looking up to, like, this guy's the king of this. Well, then he and I become really good friends and he became a mentor of mine real early. And that kind of just like also sparked this entrepreneur thing where I saw, not only can you make money winning fishing tournaments, but like he's making a lot of money with sponsors. He's got out this huge truck wrapped everything.
Now let me stop you. I think, and I told my wife this the other day, I think that they're the coolest things rolling down the road.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The Tundras or the Silverados with the camper shell, the whole thing's wrapped, the boat is matched to it. Like, it's gaudy.
Yeah, it's gaudy.
And if you've ever seen it, you stop and you look.
You
have to. But it's brilliant.
Yep.
It's absolutely brilliant. So I don't know why I think that's amazing.
No, that's what hooked me on it. Was like, I want that to be what I look like when I was down the road.
Yeah.
And so I guess the combination of those two things just really like sparked my entrepreneurship.
So you met him in high school, you were doing these fishing tournaments with pawpaw.
Yep.
And then you met this guy in high school, this pro fisherman in high school. Yep. And then, so tell me like, So he mentored you from a fishing standpoint. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So I as soon as I graduated high school, I started working for him full time and I would just travel with him. And essentially if his wife stayed home for that trip, I would travel and be his assistant on the road. If his wife wanted to travel, I would stay at their house and all the incoming packages he's got help, you know, whatever fishing tackle was coming in and out. But it was on the road that I really got to learn a lot because I got to hear phone calls that were very, very top end, really high sponsorship dollar level conversations, and I was hearing it from one of the top guys in the industry. So,
but when you're talking about hearing the conversations, because I do it with my 12-year-old, you're not talking about how to catch bass
off of
rocks.
No,
you're talking about
money,
the dollars that are coming in. He spends more time talking about sponsorships than he does practicing, doesn't he?
Correct. And so the coolest thing was like I would see the name pop up, and it's the owner or president CEO of a huge company that everybody would know, and he would often say, don't listen to this conversation, or like, you know, this stays in this truck type conversation.
Yeah.
And what I learned
was that's hard. That's great that he trusted you with that, though.
Yeah. It was really cool. And I respected that a lot.
Yeah, sure.
And so that really built our relationship. But one thing that I realized is, you know, I wouldn't have the courage to talk to this guy. He's talking to on the phone. And the first thing he says is, man, what's up, dude? Yeah. How you been? And like, they're cutting up.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it ends up being a 30-minute conversation. Been 20 of it is talking about duck hunting and where they hang in stands at.
Right.
They're just regular guys.
Oh, sure.
And there's a few small, very important minutes of that conversation. But what I learned was that no matter your title with a job or no matter if you're the CEO of this big corporation, when you clock out for the day, you're putting on gym shorts and going to the gym.
There's no doubt. You know,
you're going to work in the field.
Yeah.
And so like learning that, I think, just built my confidence of these are mostly just regular people.
Yep. But they just like you and I.
Their
business may be a little bit bigger, but honestly, they're just like you and I. Because at some point, y'all sweet tea is going to sponsor somebody.
That's right. And so, learning that, I think, also built my confidence of like how to talk to people.
Yeah.
And like just how to navigate the reality of, because some of that's scary. Like you're talking about a lot of money on these calls, and to see where the CEO thought the importance was of the conversation was important to learn early.
When you started traveling with this guy, what did you think you were going to learn?
How to catch fish. Like, I just thought I would learn more about bass fishing itself.
But in reality, you learned
probably a lot less about bass fishing and a lot more about how to conduct yourself. Little things like when he pulls out of the, you know, when he gets done fishing at the end of the day, he puts his boat up on the trailer.
Right.
I'm in the truck, pull him up out of the parking lot. People just crowd him instantly. It's very obnoxious. And I learned that he's the biggest name. He's got the huge Tundra wrapped, all the stuff, but he still spends the time no matter who it is or where it is. Obviously, he'll you know, speed through some of it when necessary, but like he's going to take the time and shake the hands, sign the autographs, those kind of things. And just seeing that the top of the totem pole and the fishing, one of the top guys is willing to spend that time was very eye-opening.
Wow.
And so that was a huge one. And then also how to conduct business and just talking to those people.
I mean, you were learning how to negotiate contracts at, you know, in literally, high school. Yep. That's great.
19, 20 years old.
So you're done with high school. Did you ever go to college?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I went to college because I thought you had to go to college.
Sure.
And my parents didn't push it on me, but I went to Jeff State and dropped out after one semester.
So one semester.
One semester. I finished the semester.
By God, I'm not a quitter.
I'm not a quitter.
I went.
But the second semester, I dropped out very quickly.
Okay, so from there, what did you do?
I tried to fish for a while. So I fished tournaments. I traveled kind of like a semi-pro level of traveling. And then, but I had all these sponsorship conversations with Gerald. So like I was able to get sponsorship deals that were pretty good sized deals for just being a semi-pro, not even a big name, because I knew that catching fish isn't the main thing. Social media is now evolving. So like if you can put this lure on social media and sell those lures, they don't care how you sold them as long as you got them sold. So I learned that pretty quickly. And then I realized there was a really important turning point where I realized I'm not that good at catching fish. Like I'm not good at catching fish in a tournament where you have a time that you have to catch a specific amount of fish
on a certain day at a certain temp. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone says they're just a fair weather fisherman. I'm a fair weather fisherman. I need everything to be just perfect and I'll catch fish.
Yeah.
But at that time, so is everybody else. But I realized that I was like, social media is evolving. It's growing at this point. It wasn't big. This is like 2012, 2013.
Oh my gosh.
Instagram's just getting started. And so I just went straight to social media and started doing that. Really one of the first probably 10 or 15 people that were doing social media a lot in the beginning. And
as a fisherman. Okay. So let's back up. So you're trying to make it as a pro fisherman.
Yep.
And you say, you realize self-awareness.
Yep.
You realize that you're an average fisherman.
Yep.
But you're also knowing that the sponsorships is the way to create income.
That's right.
And so you say, okay, I'm average at fishing, but I think I can, because you're a good looking guy. I think that I can take the social media part of it and create more buzz there.
Correct.
And in turn make
just
more
add
money.
a different layer of value. Like they're adding value in tournaments, I can add value on social media.
You're finishing 14th, but by God, I got 30,000 followers.
That's right. So, but what I was doing though was I realized that the brands themselves didn't have social media at all. So I was going to these companies like, hey, y'all don't even have Instagram. You have a Facebook, but you have never posted on it. Can I do your Facebook? Can I do that for you? So that's the route that I went in the beginning. So I started just networking, using, like Gerald would introduce me to a guy and I would end up doing that company's social media, do it for a couple months. Then that guy would introduce me to two more guys and it became this thing where I was just getting all these social media accounts for brands. So I was managing, at one point in time, we were managing 18 different brands in the fishing industry, just me and my wife managing all the social media, scheduling the shoots to posting, to answering messages and sending people to the website.
So your first real job is a marketing agency.
Essentially, yes.
18 clients. Are the people, the company that works with us, they don't have 18 clients.
Yeah. It was, and I realized it was big. I realized that I was doing something that not a lot of people were doing, and we really capitalized on it. And obviously, that we're skipping through part of life in that story, but yeah, at the peak, it was 18 brands, and just, like, it was a really, because the coolest thing was, you know, when you're fishing, you're obviously wearing clothes, you're holding a rod with a reel on it with a line connected to a hook with a weight above it and a worm. All of those are different brands.
So you got the rod, you got the reel, you got the line, you got the hook, you got the weight, you got the worm
and the apparel.
So just six on the rod.
On the rod. Yep.
And then the hat, the glasses, the things.
And the boat. So what I thought was, if I can go get all of that package, none of it's competing. So if I posted the rod company and tagged them on the boat company's Instagram, they wouldn't care because there's nothing competing there. So I just perfected that. Mm-hmm. And so when I did a photo shoot, I was getting seven brands in one click. So then I would do giveaways with all those brands and just grow. I just grew everything all together. And also, this is at a point in time where TikTok wasn't around. So like the reels wasn't a thing yet. So it was just all photos. All it was photos. A lot easier to grow. Hashtags were really important. And I just brought a lot of value to brands through social media in a way that they weren't already doing it. So it was like 100% ROI for them because they weren't doing it. Like I just brought a whole new level of marketing for them because they were only marketing through the pro anglers, right?
That's it.
That's all they had.
And if those guys didn't have a presence, there was no audience.
Exactly. And so I was like, if I can just be different from all these people, because I wanted to make a living in fishing.
Right.
And so that was the way that I chose. And that was a huge, huge catalyst, what pushed me into Y'all Sweet Tea. But we're skipping a little bit.
There's a story about you winning a bass boat. Tell me about that. It's not like a free meal at the barbecue joint. You won a bass boat.
So that was a really cool. That was a huge point of my life. It was 2016. So I might have been 21 or 22 years old, and it was an online fishing tournament. So you had to catch a fish, but it was based off votes that you got from social media. So it was a perfect storm for what I was building. Like I can go catch fish, but then I can use followers to get me to vote for me. So ended up winning the whole thing throughout the year. The prize was a bass boat, 19-foot Triton boat with a 150 Mercury on the back. And at this time in my life, I'm still wanting to be a pro angler and wanting to do all these things. So like I'm fishing all these tournaments out of this free boat that I got and never thought about the value of it. I just thought I have my own boat now because I didn't have a boat at the time. Mm-hmm. So then a couple years goes by, I sell that boat, but I used that $30,000 of equity, flipped it into the next boat. And I actually bought a used boat from Gerald. So he gave me a buddy deal.
Yeah, perfect.
He gave me a buddy deal. Yeah. And I already have $30,000 moving into that new boat. Mm. Well, paid it off, whatever. So I kept flipping a couple boats. Well, every time that $30,000 turned into $32,000, $36,000.
Yeah.
Now I got $40,000. So when I'm still like not, at this point in time, not really making real money yet at all in life. I'm just still young. But this $40,000 is floating with me, but it's in the form of a boat. So if I can ever get a free boat for work, if I can do a boat social media company one day and I can get that boat, I'm going to have $40,000 in the bank. I just want to get to where I can have this $40,000 in the bank. That's where I was
going. Yeah.
So fast forward a pretty good bit, but that $30,000, I know this is like y'all talk about finances a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
And that $30,000 was very important throughout life because I kept, whenever we would go in between boats or there became a time where I was managing a really big boat manufacturer, social media, and they gave me a demo boat. So you didn't have to pay for it. I got the boat for a year for free and then just basically traded in at the end of the year. So then
this is what you're looking for.
That's what I was looking for. The $40,000 is mine now. And it was funny that like in those periods of time, we might need $30,000 to upgrade a house or put a down payment on a house or whatever would happen. I kept seeing that $30,000 in savings. Even if we went broke and we had to spend all of our money to do this, whatever, there was still $30,000 in savings.
Mm.
And so it was really cool because if I didn't have that and we spent everything, I would have got to zero. And so that was like, it was the coolest thing to be able to have that cushion at a very young age. It was really cool because if you have that, you're able to live a little bit more freely, not so stressed out and be able to make probably better decisions, just day-to-day decisions.
Well, it's a good comfortability.
That's right.
You know, obviously, the hard times make us better, and we've heard that a gazillion times, but guy's doing acrobatic tricks, he's got a net below him, he's going to have a little bit bigger balls to make a more, whatever trick, and you had that.
Yep.
So that's, okay, so you're doing this thing, you're it's just kind of a combination of professional fisherman / you're a marketing agency.
Correct.
You're a full-fledged marketing agency. It's obviously not what you're doing now. Where did you transition from fisherman marketing agency into what?
So the timeline's kind of weird. I'm actually going to back up a little bit. So in the middle of all of that, I took a couple random jobs that were full-time go-to-work jobs, but I was still doing the marketing stuff.
Go back. Were you not making, how much were you making with 18 different
accounts?
That's
at the very end. So my biggest year was like $230,000, which was an extreme amount of money. Me and my wife were full-time. We did nothing and we were the only employees and we had the cameras. So like,
that was great.
All profit basically. And that's at the very end of the story, though. So I'll back up to when the Y'all Sweet Tea thing happened. At this point, I have a few, two or three fishing social media accounts that are paying $100 to $300 a month. So it's not a ton of money, but I'm also 19.
Mm-hmm.
Go get a full-time job. I got fired randomly from that job, and I didn't think I would. I was frustrated about it. And when I left that job, I said I never wanted to work for anyone ever again. because this was a big deal for me.
Sure.
And I got fired my last paycheck, and I go home, and when I got that paycheck, I was like, I have to do something different. And my best friend, Brandon, who's now owner, or he's an owner of Y'all Sweet Tea, but his mom made really good sweet tea growing up, and we're playing basketball outside. We would always, first thing you do, come inside, pour in sweat, and just, we're just chugging tea. And my Nana made really good sweet tea. So I was like, what if I could start a tea company and just sell my, like, sell my Nana's tea, or sell, you know, make some good tea and sell it. I don't know. It's just an idea that I had. So I started going with it, and I was like, we could sell it at the pumpkin patch. We have a really big pumpkin patch by the house. We could sell it at pumpkin patch, and maybe just, like, I don't know where you could sell tea, but let's, so what could you name it? Sweet tea is the most Southern drink. What's the most Southern word, I guess? What's the most Southern word that people would say? And y'all, sweet tea just came to my mind. Mm. And it sounded horrible at first. I hated the name of it at first. And but I was like, I can tell the story. It's the most Southern drink, the most Southern word. So I took the last paycheck I got, went and bought tea and sugar from Walmart, found some glass jars in Birmingham that were, you know, a company was selling. And I was like, let's sell this tea in a glass jar, and we'll start at the pumpkin patch and just see what happens. And so we sold the pumpkin patch, and it sold out, and it sold out every single weekend. It kept selling out. So that's when we realized, like, this has a lot of potential.
Okay.
And so from 2015, this is in the middle of all that fishing stuff, 2015 to 2017, every hot weekend of the year, we were selling liquid tea somewhere. We were making it. We had a commercial kitchen, and we were making, you know, 100, 300 gallons of tea.
How did you get a commercial kitchen? And what gave you the insight to think, I've got to get a commercial kitchen to make tea?
Yep. So we were making it in my Nana's kitchen at first. And, you know, there's that, you're not health department approved for this. You're just scrapping, hoping nobody catches you. So we were making it just like you'd make it at home, but pouring it into big containers and then literally putting it in the back of my truck, taking it to the pumpkin patch. Once we got through that first fall, I realized if we're going to make this a thing, we have to find a legal place to do this. So we called the health department and say, y'all aren't going to like this, but right now I'm making tea and selling it out of my Nana's kitchen. How would you like for me to do that? And just straight ask the health department that. And also, I think that's an important thing for the viewers. I think that's a really important thing, because that's like, you don't know you need a certified kitchen. And that's like a weird thing to Google, like, because you could run the business. I could probably still be making tea in my Nana's kitchen and no one possibly would ever know. But like, just calling the health department, you know that they run, you know, restaurants.
Right.
Like, I just called them and said, hey, I'm a random dude. What's your suggestion? So that's how that started. They said, you need a kitchen that's not connected to the house. It needs this, 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 this. I just like look in the area, and there was a building for sale that matched those specs. It was a tiny little, it was an old restaurant, and we just kind of made it into, it was a tiny little building, but now we've got our own spot. We can store all our stuff there instead of my Nana's house. And then, so that was, but just asking the health department was a big deal. Just like, cause there's a lot of, you have a lot of questions in life, especially in business.
Right.
Just asking the people who are close to you. And that was what we did. So get that every hot weekend.
But you're selling liquid tea. Making the tea and you're selling the tea.
I was buying it off the shelves at Walmart. Yep. And if whatever brand they had in stock is what we were buying and selling. And we just had a fun brand. We had a cool sticker on the jar and just had this fun thing going. So in 2017, we did it for 2 years.
Are you making any money? Are you making any profit?
I thought it was good.
Tea is a very high margin item.
Yeah. So I thought it was really good. At the time, I'm 20, 21, 22. So I dropped out of college. My parents don't have a lot of money. I'm not around a lot of money. So $1,000 is a lot to me. So we would do events and make $5,000 on a Saturday. I'd have $1,000 in expenses. We'd put $4,000 in the bank account. Well, then I realized, what if we got three crews here doing the same thing? We might do $15,000 on a Saturday and spend spend $3,000 or $4,000, and now we can put $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 in the bank. So that was what it became after maybe the second year. But the biggest problem that I saw was, we start growing on social media and people are wanting us to ship them tea, but you can't ship a gallon of tea. It just doesn't make sense. They're going to pay $20 for a liquid gallon. It's too heavy. Also, it rained an entire May. That was the deal breaker. It rained an entire May and we made $0. And so we had all these big plans. We ramped up all of our equipment. We bought all this stuff, new trailer, new trucks, and then just didn't make any money. And so that literally, I wouldn't say that put us out of business, but it was the eye-opening moment that was like, this is not a sustainable thing that you want it to be one day. So
let me stop you for a second.
Yep.
So we're selling tea.
Yep. And we're doing a couple social media accounts on the side.
Just a couple.
Yep.
So this is all your income.
Correct. That's the only income.
And you're married or not married?
Not married at the time. Not married. But I'm dating Hannah, who ended up marrying.
So you're making this tea. You're doing the tea on the weekends. But then you're also running two or three social media accounts.
Yep.
Okay. You really
living at home.
Perfect.
Yeah. Living with my mom still.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So it rains all May, and you realize this is not sustainable.
Yep.
What next?
I knew that y'all, so the coolest thing we ever saw was at the events, people would come by, they'd get our jar of tea, and they'd come back for refill, and y'all got any more of that tea? Y'all?
Yeah. And they'd laugh, yeah.
And that I knew that them mocking us was the best thing that could happen. Mm. Because it was never bad mocking, it was always fun mocking.
Yeah.
It's like, if I can make something out of that, this is going to be big. So we paused the business in 2017. I was like, I don't know what it's going to be. I have no clue.
Okay.
But one day it'll be something big. So that's when we will continue the story with all the fishing stuff we already talked about. The fishing stuff happens.
So you stop.
Straight stop.
You stop y'all sweet tea.
Straight stop.
And then you ramp up the fishing thing.
Fishing thing takes off because I'm doing all the social media stuff. And I'm like, this is also very high profit. I get to fish all the time. The tea thing hasn't worked yet. I don't know what it's going to be. Let's just do fishing for a while. And then I will follow back up with y'all sweet tea. So the whole entire time, I get inspired by random things, packaging, wall color of paint,
me, you know, too.
Signs on the interstate, magazine ads.
Magazine ads.
Magazine ads are awesome.
Dude, I get two magazines. I get Southern Living and I get Garden and Gun.
Yep.
And the stories are fine.
But the ads.
Bro, I look at the ads.
Yeah. I get so inspired by those because I'm like, that's so neat. And I may change 75% of what I'm looking at, but at the heart, somehow in my brain, I see this ad and I'm like, that, so y'all, because y'all sweet tea could do something with that.
Sure.
And so anyhow, this whole time I'm writing notes. Every time I'd see a cool ad or a cool thing, I'm just writing down notes about it. And I still have to this day that notebook, which is really cool. So in 2020, fishing thing is at its peak. And I get into Google and I found a tea manufacturer who can actually blend teas. And at the time, I had no clue that was even an option.
You stopped doing this for 3 years.
Yep. Totally stopped it. Cold turkey. Never touched it again.
Huh. So you stopped doing it for 3 years. You're now Mr. Marketing Agency.
Yep.
And are you done fishing at the time in 2020? Are you not?
No. Still wide.
You're still trying to be a fisherman.
But I'm done trying to be a pro fisherman. I'm just full-time marketing. It's the only thing I'm doing.
Okay. I love this.
The cool thing was, like I said, we did 230,000 that one of 2020 or the next year. And it was in 2020. And so we had cash. And I was able to put time and money into, all right, I've done all this social media for other brands. I've seen what pro anglers, aka influencers, can do for other brands. At this time, YouTube bass fishing influencers starts blowing up.
Blowing up.
Dude, they got so big.
We got to talk about this off camera because I got a lot of questions for
that. There's specifically, there's a group called the Guggen Squad.
I know them.
Okay. So,
and they're in Alabama, or some of them are.
A couple of them were in Alabama.
Yeah.
And so, but they just basically, they were all individual YouTubers. They formed an alliance, a group, and said, let's move in together and let's just fish every single day. Let's do collaborations in each other's videos. And they turned, I don't know if it actually became the biggest brand in the industry, but I think it was for a little time, the biggest brand in the industry. Basically, a YouTube fishing brand took over all the biggest brands there was. And when I saw that, I said, Y'all Sweet Tea can do that. So, somehow Y'all Sweet Tea can do that. So start researching, I find the manufacturer who can make us tea. I call them, I was like, hey, I love this about this brand, but I don't like these flavors, yada, yada. Can y'all mix our own blend of tea up for us? And they said, that is our expertise.
That is what they do. They're a true co-packer.
Correct. And so when we found that, we did obviously the sampling process and we rebranded the logo, did this packaging, and I did all that. Like, I can't physically create it on the internet, but I have hand drawings of all this stuff. And so sketch stuff out on paper on my iPad and then send it off to someone that I found online who can do the designs.
Where'd you find them?
That was on the website called 99
Designs. 99 Designs. I got it.
I love it. I use it all the time.
Yep. Okay.
99 Designs is just, you can hire a freelance subcontract worker to
somewhere
do
in Bangladesh
you want to do.
Yeah. Or wherever.
They're all over
the world. All over the world.
And most of them don't speak English.
None of them.
And they all work at midnight.
That's
right. They start working at midnight.
Hey, it's done when you get up in the morning. That's
exactly.
Awesome.
That's the best part.
Yeah. Are you stopping the marketing stuff at this time?
Correct. So
that's a lot of money, bro.
It is a ton of money. And so my family doesn't have that kind of money at all. That's an absurd amount of money for us. So what happens was a couple of the brands. So there was one point in time where I was managing six brands who all got acquired under one umbrella. So I lost that entire account because they hired one marketing person, which made sense.
Makes sense.
Because they were paying me more than they would have paid this one person to come and do the in-house job, which I'm all for it. So lost six accounts. Same thing happens again with two of the brands. One brand falls. It's like things just started falling apart, and it was still very sustainable and it could have been still a big business. But at the time when I started seeing that happen, I quickly started making the transition back to Y'all Sweet Tea. And so that's 2020. We do all the research and development, all the new all the designs and everything. And then this actually launched in 2021, April 10th, 2021.
So you launched this in 2021. Are you building a Y'all Sweet Tea presence from 17 to 21? Or you just stopped it? You stopped it.
Yeah, totally.
But you've got, do you have any sort of personal brand presence?
I had, so I also had a YouTube channel in the middle of all that fishing stuff. I'm not fishing tournaments anymore, but I'm always on the lake making content for brands. So I also started a YouTube channel that got to about 40,000 subscribers. So
that's great.
I was filming daily vlogs and stuff. So I had a brand, and then Y'all Sweet Tea from way back in the day still had, you know, 6,000-7,000 followers from way back in the day. And so I was like, we can just rekindle that, use my little bit of audience and, you know, push some kind of traffic and at least get something going.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that got us to April 10th, 2021.
From there, how much did you spend before a dollar came in?
$40,000. Me and Brandon together spent $40,000.
So 20 grand a piece ish.
Yep, roughly.
What? So you got the how big was your first order?
So the first order was probably two pallets of tea, which is roughly 2,000 of these bags.
Okay.
We ordered 15,000 packaging itself from China and then 2,000 worth of tea to fill the inside of it. And our thought was, well, the cool thing about Y'all Sweet Tea is we created our own blend of tea. It's got a fun name. It's a fun packaging. Our biggest competitors are Lipton, Red Diamond, Louisiana. They're all in the exact same box at Walmart. They're in every store you ever go to in the same exact box. All those competing brands look the exact same. So let's just make something that looks different.
Sure.
That out of the gate, if we ever get to be on that shelf, we're going to look different. People are at least going to stop. Our brands are a lot brighter. I mean, our colors are a lot brighter. Everything's more fun. But then on the back, if we're going to mail this to people, I want them to be able to have a perfect gallon of tea no matter where they're at,
mm-hmm.
be able to make good tea. So you hear the story of Coca-Cola's vault, how they've got the secret recipe for Coke is in a vault hidden somewhere. We gave our recipe on the back of every single bag so that every single person can make at home the same exact quality
of
tea.
The same exact tea,
yep.
So that your brand
yep.
tastes the same everywhere.
Yep.
So how are you selling this in 2021?
I have no clue. Like I want to ship it, but I don't. You have to have a website to ship it. I've never built a website.
You got 2,000 bags of tea. You don't have a website.
Well, this is a little bit before that.
When
we launched, we did have the website, but as we're making the products, as we're ordering the packaging, we don't have a website.
Mm.
We know that we're going to launch it on a website, but I didn't have one.
Yeah.
We didn't have money to pay a guy to do it. So I literally learned it off YouTube. I just searched, how do you build a Shopify store? There would be a tutorial video pop up that's an hour long. So what I did was I took a bunch of cell phone pictures of just random things and built a fake website for random things just so I could learn how to navigate the shortcuts and all the different things. So I just literally watched 10 minutes of this video, pause it, and then do what it said and hit play. And I learned and I became a master of it through doing that. And I think that's one of the coolest parts of the whole story of everything that
Absolutely.
We've done is because people get, I mean, in life and everything, I mean, it still happens to me this day, but you get to a challenge that you have no clue. You don't even know where to begin at.
Yeah.
But you think of the question, how, you know, like whatever it is. For me, it was how to build a website. But whatever anyone's challenge is, you're thinking that question in your brain. Type that into Google or into YouTube.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who've had a similar question. And for me, that's what I did. Obviously, building a website was a little bit easier than some challenges, but I was able to find it, built the website out. And so, to answer your question, 2021, we did have a website.
Uh-huh.
And we just hope and dream that the people that we already had with us would buy.
So you got 6 or 7,000 old followers on the socials. You've got your website. You got 2,000 bags of tea. How did you sell the first bag of tea?
So we did a lot of, at this point, if you want to get started, you need to use your personal Facebook. So everybody's got 1,000, 2,000 followers on their personal Facebook and the community got behind it. So this is all, you know, church people, family, whatever.
Mom and them.
So they were all on board. And then that, you know, between my personal following and Brandon's and all those, we probably sold, I don't remember what the first day was, but it might have been like 10 grand the first day or 15,000, which was a knock over the fence, way bigger than we thought it was going to be.
That's wonderful.
And we get the orders, we pack the tea up, we get the orders packed, learned how to ship them because we hadn't had an order yet. We don't even know how to ship orders.
Right.
And so we literally learned with the first orders how to pack and how to do all this.
Mm.
So it starts becoming fluid. The next day people get returns. Now we've got an email list. Some people who are buying, So I was like sending out thank you emails, and I'm learning email marketing. And then we're just doing a bunch of content. But I realized at that point, we have to have a catalyst to push a bunch of people to us, because this is going to be a slow burn if we don't. So I'm remembering back to the fishing days with the influencers, which were the pro anglers and the Guggen squad. I was like, we've got to get influencers. We got 40 grand that we saved up. Let's get some influencers and use part of that to be a marketing budget. And craziest thing, the first month we used some influencers that were a complete bust. They were younger, pretty mom type influencers,
sure,
with big followings, and they didn't sell anything for us. Huge name girls, 500,000 to a million followers.
Did they not do, why do you think so?
I just was looking at their follower count, and they're pretty girls. My wife follows them. My wife loves them. So like, surely they got to be good for our company. But at the time, we didn't know who our audience was going to be. So we're just like kind of shooting in the dark. They just didn't, it wasn't organic. Those girls aren't making tea how we make it, how our mama's made it or grandma's made it. So I was like, let's find an older influencer and see if she can make it better. Cause like, there's a lot of older cooking influencers. So the first person that I DM'd was Brenda Gant, and Brenda Gant has 4 million followers on Instagram, on Facebook. She cooks every single day. Every day she gets a million views. She gets 30, 40, 50,000 comments every single day.
What is her name?
Brenda Gant. She's from Andalusia, Alabama. She is my, I don't know your grandmother, but she's your grandmother. If you're from Alabama, she's your grandmother. She's just a Alabama grandmother.
Wow.
And
so you call her.
Yeah, we DM'd her. They instantly responded. They're like, sure, we'll try the tea, but if Brenda doesn't like it, she's not going to do it.
Great.
Love it. The tea's good. So
yeah,
we sent it to her. She loved it. Scheduled a couple meetings with them. Off to the races. Her first ever video that she did for us sold $100,000 in one day. The first ever video that she did for us. So
she sold y'all $100,000
on our website.
Okay. So that's one this is one of the questions I always have is, what is the single largest instance that helped you grow? Is that it?
It's certainly in the top two or three, yeah, for sure. I would say she's probably the single instance that helped us grow, yes, over time. Because she just has such a huge audience that she pushed so many people to us that first wave. And to even preface that.
That's awesome.
Up, and I can pull the Shopify numbers to be exact, but that was on May 24th. We launched April 10th. So this is about a month and a half after we launched. So
up you didn't have enough tea.
We had 15. That's the best part of the story. We've done $15,000 total sales from when we launched, which was mostly on that first day.
10 grand on the first day. Yeah. The next month and a half, you did $5,000.
Yeah. And then she does $100,000 that day, one day. Me and Brandon are,
you ain't got enough bags.
No, sir, we don't. We wait, not even close. So me and Brandon are out of the country with our wives. Our weddings are similar, so we had an anniversary trip together. We're out of the country. We didn't know that Brenda was going to be posting on this day. So she posts while we're out of the country in the beginning of the vacation. So we've still got about 5 or 6 days before we get home. We knew that it all sold out. We knew that we didn't have enough packaging. We don't have enough tea or packaging.
Nothing.
Both of those are problems. We don't have enough money to make anything happen. What happens is Shopify collects all your money and then they pay it out to the bank connected to it two or three business days later. However, half the money, a little bit more than half the money, was coming through PayPal. PayPal says, what do y'all think you're doing? Getting $100,000 in a day.
There ain't no doubt.
Y'all are selling drugs.
Yep.
So they red flagged our account.
Yeah. And they held it for how long?
Dude, like 90 days.
Yeah.
And it was, so
I had a buddy that was eBaying, and he had this trick, and they had $80,000 of his for 6 months.
That's so
great. $80,000 for 6 months. PayPal is like jail sometimes. Yeah.
And so it was the craziest thing. And I actually had to go into my personal savings to bail us out for a minute because of that. But without getting too much of the trenches, like...
No, get in the trenches.
Well, if you're, you know, when you're running a product that has 70% margin, but half of your money is locked, there's not enough money to operate. Mm-hmm. If you lock away half the money, now you're working on to 20%.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything. You can't re-up on product with 20%. You can't pay bills. Bills can get paid with 20%, but nothing can grow. And so when they lock the money up, we were obviously fighting with them every day trying to get this money back, and they don't care.
So just PayPal?
Just PayPal. So we were still getting the other cash. But
so
it was
you got the other $50,000?
Yeah, but it was
brutal. Still?
Yeah.
So what did you do? How did you fill these orders? Because, I mean, anything from China takes weeks.
Yeah, and so we had a decision to make. Was either we can't get the packaging, and it was actually going to be about 2 months before we could get packaging in because of their production schedules. We couldn't get in. We're too small of an account to get in. And we made the decision. It was one of my favorite decisions I've ever made in business was, do we shut the website off because we're sold out? Just totally cold turkey. Say, we're sorry, we can't sell anything anymore. Or can we sell it in another packaging that's not this pretty? So I found this exact same bag from the manufacturer, but it's clear, all the way clear. It just looks like a Ziploc bag. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
And I typed out a really pretty header card that has our pattern on it. And on the back of that, still had the recipe so people could still get the tea. But on the letter I wrote, thank you for your support of our company. We appreciate your business and we appreciate your patience. However, y'all just wiped us clean. And this is the exact same tea. The bag's not as pretty, but please be patient with us. And I promise we're going to get back to you as soon as we can. The recipe's on the back. You'll still be able to make it the exact same. Signed my name, founder of Y'all Sweet Tea. And we just packed thousands of those. And literally I held my breath the entire time. Because if people don't like that, because they had already bought this and we were sending them something different. They didn't even know it when they were buying it. So once we did it, I was terrified that this could be the end of us. Because
end of your business.
It could be the end of the business. If everybody complains
people are
about
funny.
It, yeah.
Okay. Now, what about the tea? How long was the turn time on the tea?
It was pretty quick. They were able to rush it. The tea's actually packaged and manufactured in North Carolina.
Okay.
We hand pack it into our packaging in Hayden, but the bags themselves are made in North Carolina.
In North Carolina.
They were able to rush us. That was like a 14-day turnaround. But we had 14 days worth of order packing, so it didn't matter. Like, it still flowed in and everything was fine. One of my favorite things is that I didn't apologize on that letter that I wrote. I just said, thank you for your patience. I didn't say, I'm sorry that we sold out. And I didn't say, I'm sorry for...
Yeah, there's nothing to be sorry about.
I'm not sorry.
No. Nope.
I'm very proud of that. But I'm thankful that you are patient with us. And the coolest thing was the amount of customers that just appreciated the transparency. And they're like, you know, these are older women at this point. All of our customers are older women. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But they're like, baby, don't worry. Y'all are doing fine. And we were doing Facebook Lives every single day, like... We're in the office. Y'all can see that we're packing these orders. We're showing everything. The tea going down the line, everything. Like, we're not blowing the money and we're not doing anything shady, but we just actually sold all the way out. And we'd show them the pallet. Tomorrow, that pallet's going to be gone. There's no more tea. We can't do anything. So anyhow, that transparency was a big deal that carried on for a long time. And then as soon as we got caught up, as soon as the new packaging comes in, Brenningham makes another post. Not because she's just on a contract. It's like, make X number of posts per year.
So... She signed a contract. You guys, how much do you have to pay her?
So most of the influencers obviously have a monthly rate, and it ranges from the smaller influencers can get $100 a month, and some of the highest influencers we've seen are $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, even a little more than that. So like it can get expensive per month, but obviously the yield is there. So like it can be, but the first ones it wasn't. I'll say this: the first two influencers we got, and this isn't as much as we were paying Brenda, but the first two influencers was the most we ever spent. Both of them were $10,000 each for a tiny deliverable. Like they made one video with a number of Instagram stories, $10,000 a piece, and that didn't sell anything. Now we pay Brenda less than that, but that just show you the scale.
So listen to this: I lived in Tennessee for 11 years, and I want to say I moved back in 17, so I want to say probably 13, 14, 15-ish. Yeah, 13, 14, 15. This lady, you remember all the skinny tea companies?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lady, wonderful business lady, great friend of mine. She had one. She had one of those skinny tea companies. Okay, and they call it, you know, boo-boo tea, whatever. She paid, and this is way before influencer marketing was like a thing.
Because social media is not even big at that point.
Not huge.
Yeah.
She got one of the Kardashians. Wow. $50,000. $50,000.
That's crazy.
She made $500,000.
Jeez.
Okay. She got Kim.
Wow.
On the second one, $250,000 is what she paid.
Wow.
And she broke even.
Wow.
You never know.
You'd never know.
And even if you know your avatar, here's the lesson out there. You got to know your avatar. Yep. Who is your avatar? Who are the people buying our food? Who are the people renting our short-term rental? Who are the people that are investing in our fund? Who are the people that are buying your tea?
Yep.
So a super hot 27-year-old girl who makes videos all day is probably not who's going to buy your tea.
Because her followers are guys who want to see a super hot 27-year-old.
Exactly. Ethel in Brewton, Alabama.
Does not care about a hot 27-year-old.
But Ethel likes
Brenda Gant.
Brenda Gant. Yeah. So
as soon as we learned that,
yeah,
very.
But it's the you have to learn that lesson because you don't think that it's true that the 67-year-old lady in South Alabama is going to have more of an impact than this super hot chick in Nashville.
Yep, they have no clue.
I mean, you got to learn that crap.
Yep,
and those the $10,000 you paid whoever that was. Probably some of the best 10 grand you spent.
100% agree. Because the funny thing is, I have a list, of 100 influencers we'd love to work with, and I color coded them based off how much I wanted to work with them. And there was a lot of girls that were that age, that look, that same structure.
Yeah.
So, like you're saying, the 10 grand eliminated that entire list, and it just showed me the bottom of that list where Brenda Gant was. The whole thing was flip flopped.
That's so good.
So yeah, that was really cool.
Okay, so I interrupt you. She goes back and you get restocked.
Get restocked. Happy.
Now let's go back. Just get technical. How many posts did you contract with her? So let's talk about this for a second. This world, people don't know this world.
Let's do it.
So this world is a. I have these conversations weekly with them for various and sundry things that we do. The one I'm working on right now is our lake place. So I have a lot of real estate. I am not a short-term rental fan, Airbnb. I do not love that world, even though I have one. I've got one because it's a legacy property for us. It's a beautiful home in a lake called Walcox Point. But I'm trying to use different influencers, fishing influencers, the mom influence, those types of people to push that.
Yep.
They all have different ramifications and different things that they want to have.
Yep.
Some of them is money, some of it's trade, some of it's all across the board.
Yep.
So what you have to do with these people, especially these bigger ones, there is a fee you have to pay sometimes. And then in the fee, it says, let's just use an arbitrary number, $5,000. You're going to pay Susie $5,000 and she's going to post 3 times over the course of 4 months.
Yep.
And she's going to do 5 stories.
Yep.
And on whatever platform that she's famous on, whether it be the TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or whatever. So that's how this world works.
Yep.
So you get with Brenda Gant, how many did you contract with her?
They required a year out of the gate. So
hold on one second. They required a year. Are you paying like a monthly retainer to her?
A monthly retainer.
You're paying them. Oh, okay. I've never heard this. So you're paying a monthly retainer. How many posts or mentions are you guaranteed in that 12 months?
So in the 12 months, it was like, I don't remember what the first one was, but roughly a post a month. And then there was other things like giveaways that we would do throughout the year. And like, we would be able to go down and do photo shoots with her having our tea. So like, we had kind of an entire media package put together.
It's just like fishing.
Correct.
It's just like Johnny with the Rapala fishing. I don't even know what Rapala is.
Yeah.
He's a Rapala fishing lure.
Yep.
And he commits to being with this fisherman. It's the same concept.
But it was for a year, which was so crazy to think about because the number with Brenda's high. And we did that. We signed the year contract before she did that $100,000 day. So like, we're committing a lot of chips.
And
on
you
table.
Put $10,000 on the hot girl, hot 27-year-old,
yep.
and it flopped. Yep. And you're saying this is a big leap of faith.
Yep.
I bet you. Oh my god.
It was. But the only thing is, I saw out of our customers already up to that point where older ladies were buying our tea. They were already posting pictures about making it. So I was like, it makes sense. Brenda's cooking every single day. So if she makes a food, it would be very convenient to have something to wash it down with. And they gave us some numbers of what they thought other brands had sold through deals. So they had some data that made me feel a little bit more comfortable about it. It was like, all of our clients are getting good returns, but at the end of the day, it's still a risk. If the people watching the video don't like the product, they're not going to buy it.
They're not going to buy it.
And if the video is, it's so particular how the video is shot too. Like if the video is shot in any kind of a weird way, or they show the tea wrong, or the package instead of being broadside is laid on the table like that, the person doing the video may not realize it. Because to this, if they're cooking over here, but the camera's there, it may look normal to them.
Sure.
So all of those things matter a big. And so like learning all that was a big deal. But
she does one post, you sell out 100K.
Yep.
You get restocked. And you're like, okay, the waters are calm, and she posts
tsunami.
Again.
Tsunami, and we didn't even know she was coming.
And she posts again.
Wiped us clean out again.
Again.
However, on that
why one. Why did you not learn?
So on that one, essentially what we did was we air freighted in. So we knew this was going to be big now. Let's get a bunch of tea coming. So let's air freight in maybe like 20,000 bags.
Okay.
Back on the first sellout.
Bags, correct. Not tea bags.
Correct.
Packaging.
Because okay. It's in China. So let's air freight in 20,000 of them. So we've got some, you know, in a week or two. But then let's also put on a boat another 50,000.
Mm.
So when
that took a lot of cash, bro.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it was painful. Mm. That was probably 30 grand to just sit on and wait, and then it yeah. slowly gets here on a boat.
Yep.
So the cool thing was she did sell us out that time with what we had that we air freighted in. However, the boat was here. So it wasn't, there was no overlaps. There was no clear bags anymore. That whole thing was done. It was a very seamless thing. However, it was a very stressful thing because the boat wasn't at, you know, it wasn't here yet, but.
What did post two, how much did you sell on post two?
That was like 70,000 second post. So we got two big, and that paid for the year, that paid for 2 years. So out of the gate,
You're in the black.
We're good now. So let's just keep rocking. But now I'm like, oh, let's go get some more other influencers. Like the packaging came in, this thing's rolling. We figured out how to pack all these orders. We've got some staff in there now. We're packing teeth
systems.
Fast. Systems are starting to do pretty good. Let's get some more influencers.
Okay.
So we find there's not any other that are, fun fact about Brenda Gant, she has a bigger reach. She has more weekly views, comments, likes, shares than Martha Stewart, Rachel Ray, Paula Deen combined.
Why?
That's Brenda Gant. Because she's not as polished. I believe it's because she's not as polished. All of those ladies obviously built the industry, but they're big cameras, big lights, big personalities for TV. Brenda Gant is for social media. And
What is her biggest platform?
Facebook. She's got somewhere in the ballpark of 4 million on Facebook. And as of right now, she does a post in the morning. It has a million views before you go to bed. And it's got 50,000 comments, 20,000 likes.
She looks just like a grandmother.
Yep.
And she's shooting it on her phone.
On her phone. Yeah. Her phone rig is on a huge Quaker Oats oatmeal stand. That she's put rocks in the bottom of it so it's heavy. And she has one of those bendy arm phone tripods.
Yeah, that she got off Amazon for $17.
Literally taped, like black duck, the gorilla taped to the top of that thing. And she has this Quaker Oats. That's her tripod. She just sets it up on the counter and films with that.
And she cooks every day.
Every single day.
She posted this video 6 hours ago. It's got 6,000 comments and 1,500 shares.
Yeah.
And she posted it at 6 o'clock this morning.
Yeah. Every post she makes is very early.
Who does the editing for her? Or do you know?
I actually don't know. They now have one person on their... So her daughter's husband, and they have a lawyer. And then I think they had one assistant who maybe clips. But most of that stuff is just... There's no edits in any of that, really.
Dude, like 2 days ago, y'all's website's tagged in one of her posts
yeah.
on a live.
Yeah. That was a $12,000 just random day.
So... You go, she posts the second time. Are you still, you're still working with her, I guess, then, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Okay, so you say, we need to go find some more influencers.
Yep.
What next?
Just got on the internet and looked, cooking influencers, and, you know, you can Google search that, or you can just, as you start interacting with Brenda Gant's page organically, you start seeing these other influencers suggested for you or whatever, and we reached out to, the cool thing is three or four of the influencers we work with are from Alabama, and that's really cool. We're able to go see them pretty often, which is really neat. But we just find other influencers, reach out to all of them, and have very similar deals with all of them. The pay, obviously, is determined by their – really, it's based off their sales at this point. But some of them have set rates that they – hey, we charge $1,000 a month, or we charge $300 a month, and we'll drink your tea in every video. Basically, the only stipulation we've got is if you're going to commit to our team – you can't show any other tea on your page at all.
Totally legit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we're only the only tea. We also have seasonings. We have coffee. We have cookware and stuff. I don't care about being the exclusive of the other stuff. If you want to use Tony's Creole seasoning, it's the best seasoning there is.
Right.
I'm fine with that. Just don't use any other tea. But you don't have to use only our seasonings. I think that was really the main thing for them. But yeah,
you get more influencers, and then you start. Is it just a steady growth from there?
Steady growth, and it, you know, obviously I realized if Brenda Gant's going to send us, you know, I don't remember the exact number of people, but I'm going to just say 70,000 people came to our website in a day, which is an extreme amount of people.
Yeah.
We need to be able to do something with those 70,000 people because not all of them bought. So let's make a better social media. Let's start making a lot more content, like ramp all this stuff up. But we need to collect their emails and their text information. That way we can remarket them again later. And now that's the biggest thing that we've got because we can do a product launch, and we actually did one this year. We launched a new flavored tea, and the inventory came in late, when we didn't have enough time to get out to the influencers before we launched it. So we did an entire product launch by ourselves with no influencers and sold it out in like 2 days. That was probably $200,000 worth of sales in 2 days. And that was only from our text and our email list and just social media, our own internal creation. So now that is the biggest thing, but it's because we've been able to collect the information and then retarget and build a community with our customers.
If you were going to give advice to someone that wants to use influencer marketing in their business, what is a good hit rate for reaching out to these people? Like, I make my list of 100 and then dwindle it down from there.
I would DM all 100. I would build a template email and obviously change their name.
Sure.
Add a little personality. If you're, you know, there's not going to be 100 cooking influencers. So maybe in my mind, I wanted to go after these cute girls, but also maybe wanted to go out to some workout guys to see if maybe they drink sweet tea too. So like, hey man, I love been watching your videos for a while, got a good arm workout from you. Here's our tea company. But I changed that for the 28-year-old girl. Like, hey, my wife follows you and she loves you, but here. So you're changing that text every time, but DM every single one of them and then make another list of who responds. Or a lot of them have emails for business inquiries.
Sure.
Email blank. Do the same thing with that. Hey, my name is Darian. This is Y'all Sweet Tea. Same thing. Fire the emails. And in your spreadsheet, have a column of responded, because that's important. And then from that, the immediate answer is from them. Because in that initial email is also, what is your rate? So they're going to send some sort of a PDF that has their breakdowns. And then the next line in the thing is cost. So you write the list of all those 100, and then it's just based off what can we afford. So, you know, you may pick one high-end one that we want to risk it all with, and then, you know, pick three or four that are $100 a post.
Right.
That we can get a couple more of. So we just spread it out that way, just to, as far as like feeling out. I think most industries can do that. You know, I mean, once you build the budget, we've $5,000, whatever the number is, I think 5,000 is a good number to start with.
Yeah.
I think you should build up to 5,000 to start. I wouldn't try to go lower. Obviously, some people have to, but if you can start with 5,000, you can pay 2,000 to one person and 3,000 split up between 10 people, and you'll have a really good push.
Well, it gives you an idea of what works and what doesn't work.
That's right.
Okay. So you start getting more influencers, you start growing, you've got more than sweet tea. When did the other stuff come about?
Yeah. So as we kept going, our Facebook starts blowing up. We've got 180-something thousand followers now. We made a second page. So our Facebook's big. It's very engaged, Facebook. And so we just start asking the customers, like, I start seeing all the time, y'all need to make flavor teas, was a comment that I kept seeing. So I made a post that said, would y'all like flavor teas? And then the comments are just blowing up with yes. So then the next day I posted, what is your favorite flavor
tea? Give me your top two. yeah, whatever.
So then we send that to the manufacturer, and they're like, well, duh, we can do that. So they send us a Georgia peach. They sent a peach flavored tea that we branded and called Georgia Peach. And when we launched it, we sold 10,000 of these bags in 35 minutes on our website.
Of Georgia Peach.
We sold $100,000 in 8 minutes when we launched it. The day that we launched it, obviously we sold out, because we had never done a flavored tea before. We had never done a new product like that ever. We sold out in 35 minutes. I think if we would have had it full inventory like what we have now, that would have been $1 million day.
Really?
And it was a $200,000 day, which was the biggest day we'd ever had at the time.
And you did that organically?
Pretty much organically. So the influencers had it too.
They did have it?
Yeah, they had that.
Okay, so they all posted.
Now that we have all these influencers, we make sure they get everything.
How many different influencers do you work with currently?
About 10.
Do you just go back and forth with all of them? Are they all on retainers, or are they post-by-post basis?
No, they're all on retainers of some sort. I've signed year or two, three-year contracts with all of them, just because I want to make sure if we're committing to y'all are committing to us. Most of them get paid some sort, whether it's in product or in cash. The smaller influencers just love getting free stuff. And they post more than anybody because they're getting free stuff and they love it. But
would you consider those people what they call micro-influencers?
They're micro-influencers.
Okay. See, that's the group I love.
I love them.
Like, we've got a lady coming. She's I would consider a micro-influencer from Chattanooga.
That's cool.
And she's coming to stay at the lake on Monday.
That's cool.
And it's her. It's like 18 of them.
She's got
six kids, and she's bringing another homeschool family. They're big homeschoolers,
yeah.
And she's bringing another homeschool family.
That's
and there's going to be 22 people at the lake this week. And, like, she doesn't charge anything. And she's like, dude, I'm so excited. This is going to be great. And she's done some of this stuff before,
yes.
But it's not like her thing.
That's
she's
right.
making money doing this stuff, but it's not like paying her bills. That's right. Does that make sense?
She's not chasing it.
She's not chasing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think sometimes when you get the people that aren't chasing it,
it's the most real.
It's the most real. Yeah. And like of the direction, I may have a paragraph, like five bullet points. This is what I'd like to see. But honestly, you know your crowd better than I do. Roll with what you think would work.
Yep.
And then she's like, I think I'm going to do a remake of this video. And she sent me like a kind of a fun video that got tons of views and whatever. She's going to do that.